We all could use some encouragement, and we'll find it together today in the Bible-based teaching of Dr. Don Wilton on the Encouraging Word. There's a question we ask of ourselves, of our organizations many times, and that's, what's next? Lord, lead us into the next. And today we'll head to Luke chapter 19 to gain insight from Dr. Wilton on this very question. As we do so, know that we're available for you. We're praying together on our phone line anytime, 24 hours a day at 866-899-WORD. Anytime, 24 hours a day, you'll find one of us happy to talk, listen, pray, connect with great resources at 866-899-9673. And if you want to look at those resources, like the book from Dr. Wilton called Saturdays with Billy about his time with Dr. Graham, you'll find it on our website, tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. And now, Dr. Don Wilton.
Jesus looked upon these disciples. He said, go and get the donkey. And you know, because the Lord Jesus loves us so much, he even gave them a way out. He said, now look, somebody's going to say to you, excuse me, why are you stealing my donkey? You just tell them you're going to give it to the Lord. Now, again, here are the disciples saying, excuse me? I mean, this is invoking poor old Moses in the middle of the desert. Moses goes to God and says to him, you know, Pharaoh's a tough man. He's kept our children of Israel in bondage for over 400 years. He's going to kill me. Who do I say sent me? Well, God did it right back there in the book of Genesis. He said, just go and tell him I am sent you. That's all. The Lord looked with compassion upon his disciples. Folks, there's something here about faith. There's something here about trust. There's something here about saying, Lord, we don't know what is next, but you're giving us instructions. And when God gives us instructions, they are clear and concise. I believe that over 3 years ago, God spoke to this congregation about what we were to do when we build together in faith. And we went together to try to do together what we believe God put in our hearts by faith. We're just beginning to see what is happening. Our job now is to do what God is telling us. And you might say to me, Pastor, what's next? What's next is that we listen to what God is saying, because he's giving instructions by faith. Number two, he waited while his instructions were being carried out. Now, I love this part here, folks, because the Bible says that when Jesus told them what to do, nothing actually happened excepting the fact that they went to do what God told them to do. Did you notice that? I don't think that these kind of spiritual pregnant pauses where you're waiting for some birth to happen, where there is a great expectation that it's filled with nothingness, but I do believe that the Lord Jesus Christ in his infinite mercy sits upon his throne and he waits. The reason why he waits, my friends, is because he watches his children as they carry out his instructions. By the way, do you feel sometimes as though you're in limbo? Have you ever felt like, well, you just wait, this maybe God's given you instructions and he's waiting for you to carry them out? I don't know how many times I meet people who will come and say something like, you know, I just can't seem to get going on this thing. Well, maybe the Lord has spoken to my heart. What I may need to be saying to my brothers and sisters in Christ is, number one, has God given you instructions? Number two, have you carried them out? Because if you haven't, God is going to sit there and wait. By the way, is it possible for the Lord to put you and me on hold? Folks, I believe there are churches all over America that have been put on hold. They're in a holding pattern. The congregation is filled with people who say, we know what God wants, we know what God has said, but we're not willing to do it. God says, that's okay, I'll just put you on hold. Have you met a businessman who says, listen, I've got all of this, I've been able to do all of this, but all of a sudden I've just hit a holding pattern? Or maybe the Lord's just put you on hold because he's waiting. You see, the third step cannot take place until the second step has been fulfilled. Step number three. I love this. He mounted his horse. Any questions? By the way, if you're trying to figure this out from a theological perspective, is it possible that Jesus could have entered Jerusalem by some other means? Could he have walked? He'd done it many times before. Could he have come in from the opposite direction? He might have preferred to have come from the Sea of Galilee, not from the Mount of Olives. I mean, to go through the Kidron Valley was quite an experience. But evidently, this was God's means of transportation. This is the way that God was going to work. These were the instructions. It's not about what somebody else is doing. Or let's look at this church over here and see what works for them. What God does is that you and I live in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And He is speaking to our hearts. He mounted his horse. Here comes that donkey. Now, folks, I don't know what happened there because not a whole lot's been said about that. Brandon, maybe you could come up with a good sermon for our junior high kids. They will love that. You can entitle your message, "What Happened When Jesus Mounted His Donkey." That's a good one. Write it down, brother. Write it down. I don't know what happened, folks. Remember, this was an untamed donkey. I don't know. There's nothing said. Would you not have supposed when Jesus got on the back of that donkey that it went and turned into a bucking bronc? I mean, this way and that way. Donkeys are stubborn, folks. I'm telling you, they can put their nose down. I mean, they can just stick their feet right in that ground and say, "I'm not going anywhere." And some of you ladies look at me and say, "You kidding me? I know that. I live with one of them." Folks, has it ever occurred to you that here comes this donkey that has never been broken in, nobody's ever ridden it, stolen from under the nose of their masters, given an explanation that doesn't make any sense, harnessed by two men who probably had more questions than answers? They come and deliver the donkey to the Lord Jesus Christ. He gets on it. Well, I've tried to think about that, folks. I'm just going to say to you, it occurred to me, it doesn't matter what kind of donkey or horse or stallion that might have been. If even the winds and the waves would obey his voice, how much a donkey? I don't think that donkey had any choice. I don't even think the donkey could comprehend this. He couldn't even understand it. But when the Son of God walked up to him, he just simply stood there as Jesus Christ, the one who was bound for the cross, mounted the donkey, and that donkey walked meek and mild right into the heart of Pontius Pilate. After all, this was our Savior who stood on the bow of the boat in the midst of the turmoil and the torment amongst the fearing disciples and held up his hand and he said, "Peace be still," to the extent that even the winds and the waves obeyed his voice. Who is this God whom we serve? Who is this God? Why are we building together in faith? What is the cross? What is the cross? And so this is Palm Sunday. And so this is Palm Sunday. Yet another holiday. Yet another excuse. Yet another moment in time that we should pass over with our lofty idealism and our apathetic self-contentment. And yet here we find the Lord Jesus Christ standing on the Mount of Olives, mounted on the back of a donkey. Number four, he expected and accepted their praise. You'll note here in these verses, God begins to speak to our hearts from verse 35 and following. As he went along, they spread their cloaks. When he came near to the place, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices. I tell you, I love the praise and worship here at First Baptist Church. We've got three unique worship services, at 8:15, our classic service, and God is just pouring out His Spirit upon us. Again this morning, we had a lady give her life to Christ and a man come and join this church. We have our impact service at 9:35, which is a contemporized service with a praise team, and God is just pouring out His Spirit. This morning again, we had people joining the church and making professions of faith, and we have this wonderful service, live television broadcast, called our celebration service, and the sanctuary choir and orchestra. But I'm going to say to you, my beloved friends, if there is any time in the history of First Baptist Church that we need to let our praise and worship rise up like a cacophony of praise and worship into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is today. It is today. We need to worship God in the beauty of His holiness, because He has given us everything that we've got. Everything that we've got.
Forgive the interruption. We'll be back with the completion of today's message, What's Next, in just a minute with Dr. Don Wilton. But Dr. Don wants me to remind you, we're here for you. We're connecting however is most convenient for you. If you want to call us, our number is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Many are calling about this resource, A Call for Courage and Be Salt and Light. Like many people of faith, all of us are concerned about what the future holds for Christianity in America. And as we wake up in this world that is more hostile to Christianity than ever, what do we do? How do we respond? Again, you'll find great answers with those resources on our website right now at tewonline.org. Look for A Call for Courage and Be Salt and Light. And also know that we're just available to pray for you anytime on that 866-899-WORD number. Those are the two ways to connect, 866-899-9673, and online at tewonline.org. Now back to today's great teaching with Dr. Don Wilton.
What an incredible thing. He mounted his horse, and he expected and accepted their praise and their worship. Step number five, he did everything in the name of the Lord. He did everything in the name of the Lord. You'll notice in verse 38, blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord. Did you notice in the life of the Lord Jesus that everything he did, he gave glory to the Father which is in heaven? That's what we need to be about. We need to be about worshiping our Father which is in heaven, taking everything that we've done, all of our giftedness, all of our paltry efforts, all the things that we hope to do, and we need to give glory to Almighty God. Step number six, he wept for those who did not recognize him. Did you notice here on the second occasion in the Gospel according to Luke in verse 41, that as he approached Jerusalem, he wept over it? Folks, I just want you to think about that. Here in the midst of this incredible, glorious celebration, the people were waving palm branches, singing Hosanna, glory to God in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Right here in the middle of this ecstatic worship of Almighty God, here comes the Pharisees. It's almost guaranteed. The skeptics. I'll guarantee you today that as much as I love to go to Lake Bowen and all the lakes in our beautiful state, I'll guarantee you there's at least one person on a boat on Lake Bowen right now for whom the cross of Christ and the Easter week means nothing. I'll guarantee you today that you could go to a restaurant in Spartanburg right now. I will guarantee you'll find at least one person for whom the cross of Christ means absolutely nothing. I'll guarantee you that in almost every family sitting in this congregation and worshiping by way of television, that there's at least one person for whom Christ died, for whom the cross of Christ means absolutely nothing. The Lord Jesus Christ stood over Jerusalem in the midst of the worship, in the midst of all that he had done, in the midst of all those that meant so much to him, and he wept. Are we weeping for our Jerusalem? Are we begging God for the souls of men and women and boys and girls in Spartanburg County who are dying and going to a devil's hell, separated from Almighty God? Have we opened this hangar and this auditorium? Are we conducting our youth meeting, Seth Buckley, with a burning passion within our hearts? I was so thrilled that over 800 showed up on Wednesday night, Seth, and that there were young people who gave their hearts and lives to Jesus Christ, because actually the building has nothing to do with it. The air conditioner has nothing to do with it. The hangar has nothing to do with it. It's about weeping over Jerusalem. That's what it's about. It's about weeping over Jerusalem. Truett McConnell College in Cleveland, Georgia. Dr. and Mrs. Mathis were there, and many of our staff and others. And I was invited to speak at their spiritual emphasis. And on Wednesday, I met with many of the faculty, talking to them about how to lead people to Jesus Christ. One of the faculty had been there a long time, as did Dr. Pounds, who's just arrived there, came to me and said to me, "Dr. Wilton, you don't seem to understand. On the campus of Truett McConnell, we don't have invitations. We've never had a chapel service where anything happens. This is a group of students. Nothing happens here." And I said, "My friends, we need to pray and ask God." On Thursday morning at 9 o'clock, I got up to preach the word. Place was packed in the gymnasium at Truett McConnell. When we came down to that invitation, our hearts began to break and cry out with joy when the entire student body of Truett McConnell left their seats and came publicly down to the front, many of them weeping before the throne of God, faculty members following suit. We then began to get down to business. There were only 4 people left in their seats from an entire college. We began to pray with them. 37 students, college students, gave their hearts to Jesus Christ. Over 100 public decisions for the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus stood over Jerusalem, he wept. He wept on the way to the cross, because he went to the cross because mankind is lost. That's why Jesus died. And that's why he took the 7th step. What was the 7th step? He carried out the will of the Father. That's what the 7th step is. Not my will, but thine be done. Oh God, write upon our hearts the will of the Father in our own lives, in our beloved First Baptist Church of Spartanburg, as mamas and daddies, as grandparents, as students. Please, Lord, let us weep over Jerusalem, and let us mount our horse. Let us mount our horse. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Every head is bowed and every eye closed. Lord Jesus, this pastor is convicted in his heart that 164 years ago, you gave us a horse. You planted it right here in the center of this city. And Father, for over 164 years, faithful men and women have mounted this horse. People like Mr. Buzz Neely, who just on Friday went to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. He dismounted the horse because you called him home. Father, today we mount the horse. Father, today we seize the moment. Father, today we stand on our Mount of Olives and we weep for our Jerusalem. Father, today we claim Spartanburg for Jesus. Father, you are raising up from within this congregation men and women and young people who see so far beyond a foosball and a climbing wall and a 3-on-3 basketball court. As John Farris pointed out, they see a group of people coming to play 3-on-3 basketball, but are leaving with a 1-on-1 relationship with Jesus Christ. Father, we've got so much to do. We are exasperated. Some of us feel burned out. We get worn and weary. And then we look at you, Lord, and how sometimes you just got in your boat and went on the other side. And there you had a conversation with the Father. Thank you, Father, for speaking to us. We are listening. Please don't wait as we carry out your instructions. Please don't put us on hold. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray together. Amen. I'm going to ask you to come this morning, to leave your seats. Are there any people here today who are prepared to say, "That's me, Lord"? Wonder if there's anybody else in this congregation is willing to say, "God's given me my place. I know what's expected of me. Lord, I'm ready to do it. I'm ready to be available." Are there any young people here? Wonder if there's some seniors here today. You're about to hand the baton over. You've got about 1 month or less left. And you're willing to stand up and say, "Listen, this last couple of weeks I've got, I'm going to stand up for Jesus Christ. I'm going to hand the baton over to those upcoming seniors." Wonder if there's anybody here today who's willing to sing in the choir. Wonder if there's anybody here today who's willing to teach a Sunday school group. Kent Holt told me we were packed out today. We were packed out. Even in our new facility, we've just packed up. Folks, we're going to be faced with it all over again. We're just starting. Are you ready, church? Are you ready to go on mission with God? Are you ready to step up and be counted? Are you ready to lay your giftedness and your tithes and your offerings at the foot of the cross? Let's get to work. Let's eliminate the debt that we've got. I don't want to preside over a debt. Let's get rid of that thing. We've done magnificent. Let's just knock it out. Let's go back and be debt free and just simply say, "Lord, okay, we're debt free again. What do you want us to do now? Lord, here we are. Let's do it. You're ready to preach and teach and sing. Stand up and be counted." Are there any single adults here today that are willing to go on mission? Where are the prayer warriors at First Baptist Church? Tonight, let's fill this church up. Not because anybody's going to preach, but because we're going to celebrate the death of Jesus. I defy anybody to go to the lake today instead of worshiping Jesus Christ. I defy the people of God in America to stand up and be counted. I defy this choir to be found faithful to the Lord's house. God speaking to the hearts of God's people. Can you feel it? Can you feel it? I tell you, folks, we are living in precious days. There's a war going on. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I'm telling you, God is doing something. Don't miss your horse. Are you ready? Wow. Are you ready? Let's do it. I'm going to ask some of you to come today. Some of you to come and make public your profession of faith. Some of you to come and let us be able to talk to you. We're ready. I've got many of my friends who will be here this morning. Show you how you can trust Jesus as your Savior. Some of you who love the Lord, you're going to come and say, "Well, Pastor, I just want to be a part of this church." You're going to move your letter. Transfer your letter. Come by baptism or by statement. Say, "Man, I want to be part of what's going on here. I want my children to grow up in a church like this where the name of Jesus Christ is proclaimed." Maybe you've been through a divorce and you're hurt. This is the place to be. Maybe you're a single adult. Maybe your life has been in ruins. Maybe you're on the mountaintop. That's the kind of people who you see here today. I tell you, your pastor loves you with all of his heart. So I'm going to ask you, would you come today unapologetically from up in the balcony, from the choir, doesn't matter where you are, I'm going to ask you to come. Without any hesitation, lay it down and say, I'm coming. If you need to just come and pray, then come and pray. God is listening. He's watching.
And I pray that brings comfort to you, not fear. God is listening. God is watching. And He's watching out of love and concern. Not a God ready to zap you with a lightning bolt to catch you doing something wrong, but a loving God who is pursuing you even through this broadcast because He loves you and has a great plan for your life. You've heard Dr. Wilton as he's been teaching and preaching from Luke 19. Now open your heart to what he wants to share as he steps into the studio next.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that Jesus died for me on the cross. Today, I repent of my sin, and by faith, I receive you into my heart. In Jesus' name. My friend, I welcome you today into the family of God. This is exciting news.
If you just prayed along with Dr. Wilton to give your life to Christ or rededicate your life, we're so excited for the way this is going to be a line in the sand, moving forward better than ever, living for God. And we'd love to put some resources in your hands that will help you do that. Dr. Wilton has prepared a packet of information for you if you've given your life to Christ or rededicated your life to Jesus, absolutely free, that will help you grow. You can call us and ask for your copy at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or you can also communicate with us on our website at tewonline.org. We have these resources that we want you to have. If you've just given your life to Christ or rededicated your life to Jesus today, why don't you contact us? Again, 866-899-9673 or online at tewonline.org.
Did you know that you can receive exclusive teaching letters from Dr. Wilton and information about our newest messages and Bible guides every month? Join our email community. Dr. Wilton's letters will encourage, fortify, and inspire you in your walk with God. You will also receive periodic updates on how the encouraging word is working to share God's truth with a searching world. Subscribe today by visiting our website at tewonline.org/email. That's tewonline.org/email. The encouraging word is a viewer and listener supported ministry. Thank you for listening today.
Hope you'll join us for the next broadcast of The Encouraging Word. Dr. Don's taking us to 1 Corinthians 15 about the resurrection. That's on the next broadcast of The Encouraging Word. Till now and then, stay connected with us at tewonline.org. And thank you. Thank you for so many of you who are stepping up to say, we want to pray for the ministry of The Encouraging Word. That's the first and foremost thing we need. But there are also many of you saying, we want to give financially. We are on the air and continuing to grow because of your generous financial support. Thank you so very much. The Encouraging Word.